Good morning. It's time for another conversation. This is High Desert Dialogue, conversations with Regina and Roxanne, here on Talk 960. You can hear us Saturdays at 9 a.m. and Sundays at 8 a.m. on Talk 960 and talk960.com. Let's start talking.
Morning, Roxanne.
Good morning, Regina, and congrats again to our class of 2025. The proms graduation's coming up. Yes.
Proms, graduations, senior awards. All of that,
right? A very exciting time.
It is always an exciting time this time of year. So you know what? It is another beautiful weekend here in the high desert.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in my favorite time of year, which is spring, summer. Love it. Remind me of that when we start to hit those triple digits.
We're going to get ready for Memorial Day weekend. So we'll talk about a few events coming up, too. So the unofficial, like you said, you like a spring and summer, the unofficial start of summer. Here we go.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm ready for it, I will tell you. But you know, Roxanne, we've got a wonderful woman here with us this morning who's going to share what I love because, you know, we do a lot of nonprofits and community leaders and people who are just trying to do things that help to elevate our community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she is no different, right? We just met her, but I love her. She's no different. I call her Dr. Ida, but she said don't do that because we don't want to confuse people.
Okay.
So she's pharmacist Ida, who has been a pharmacist for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
She's here in the high desert. Local, love that, right?
Uh-huh.
And she's joining us this morning to tell us about a free 8-week pharmacy tech training program that's being offered through her church.
And that's great because it ties into those who are going to graduate. She'll tell us more information if you are interested in maybe becoming
Look
a pharmacy tech. It kind of ties in. So this is great timing, Pharmacist Ida. Thank you.
Well, welcome to Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. As you can tell, we're excited to have you join
us. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. So I'm going to start off by asking you if you can give us a little bit of background on yourself and then talk to us about this 8-week program and why your church decided to be involved in something like this.
Well, I'm originally from Belize, Central America.
Hmm.
So I was not born in the United States, but I did go to high school in the United States. I went to University of Iowa.
Wow.
I know. Uh-huh. Interesting.
Okay.
And there's a little story behind that. Because I was not a citizen, the out-of-state tuition for California was so much higher
mm-hmm.
than Iowa. So in order for me to still be able to go to school, we chose to go with one of the teachers that at my high school recommended Iowa. I went and I was like, I'm going to stay in a year because it's going to be too cold.
Right.
Like, it's going to be too cold. And then I ended up staying the whole year, the whole time, and graduated
and
from
graduated,
University of
yeah.
Iowa. Yeah. And then I came back home and I worked in Compton.
Okay.
For about 10 years.
Wow, my husband's from Compton.
Yes. See, I worked in Compton for about 10 or 12 years, and then my husband was doing a master's in Michigan, so we moved
back to the cold state.
Back to the cold weather.
And we were there for about 2 or 3 years, and then we moved here to Victorville, which we've been for about 20 years.
Yes.
So,
you like the warm weather, too.
Well, that was another reason. Another reason we moved was my daughter had allergies, and she couldn't be anywhere where it was moist, anywhere there was mold.
Mm.
So we had to find some place that was dry, and we had relatives here, so it worked out.
It worked
out.
I
started working with Walgreens in Michigan, but when I moved here, I just transferred. So I've been with Walgreens about 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
I've been a pharmacy manager with them for about 20 of those years.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so that gives us a little bit of background about you and how you got here and then your experience as a pharmacist, right? And so now you're looking at doing this 8-week program for pharmacy techs.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe tell us what a pharmacy tech does.
So a pharmacy technician assists the pharmacist. So a pharmacy technician can type a prescription, can fill a prescription, they can bill insurance, They can audit.
Mm-hmm.
They can audit different things. So even though we normally think of pharmacy technician of just working inside of a pharmacy, there are other jobs that are available for people who are pharmacy technicians.
Right. And so through your church, you guys are providing a free 8-week pharmacy technician program. So,
well, it's through our church and also with High Desert New Beginnings.
Okay.
So it's a collaborative effort. So the church is providing the space for us.
Okay.
High Desert New Beginnings is providing the funding for us.
Great. And so how did you get these two entities to come together and decide that this is something that they wanted to support and provide for?
You ever have just that aha moment in your head? Mm-hmm. You know, it was just like, I need to do something. And I'm like, Lord, I'm so busy. I have two kids. I work. And I'm like, what can I do?
Right.
The slowest time for us at my pharmacy is during the summer months because, of course, cough and cold and all that's mm-hmm. over. And I was just thinking, so I got up in church one week and I said, I'm going to do a pharmacy tech program.
Woke up and said that.
I'm like, I'm going to do it. But God is so good that he motivated the director of New High Desert New Beginnings to say, I will support you.
Wow.
And the church says, yes, you can use our space.
Right.
And so, you know, they had to all take it to a vote and check all that stuff. But everybody agreed that this was something that would actually make an impact in our community, not just for a second,
yes.
but for a long term.
Yes.
And we decided we wanted to make an impact long term, not short term.
Right. And so this training of people, like I said, it just reminds me of Teach a Man to Fish,
mm-hmm.
right? And then that creates that sustainability. It creates that power for one to be able to support and sustain themselves.
Right.
Which I think is great, great work. Now, who is eligible for this program and what are the minimal requirements?
The minimum requirements, you must be 18 years old.
Okay.
And you must have a high school diploma.
Okay.
Because in order to take the certification test, which is done after the course is over, you have to have a high school diploma. That you can't, a high school diploma or a GED.
Okay. All right.
So either one would suffice.
Okay.
As long as they have completed that part, they can now be in the program. And we do ask them to upload their high school diploma to the site before they come in, so we make sure that they meet the qualifications
right.
to be a part of the program.
So there's some information and things that have to be taken care of in that registration
right.
period.
And it walks them through step by step. It tells them which book to order.
Okay.
The link to the book is there, so they can go straight to Amazon and order the book. Then they give all their information and they upload their high school diploma so that we have that ahead of time to make sure they're qualified to take the course.
And so, Pharmacist Ida, mm-hmm. tell us what they can expect, someone who says, that may be for me. I think I'm interested in taking that 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. What will they cover in that 8 weeks?
We're going to cover everything you need to do, to pass the test.
Okay.
To pass the certification test. So we're going to cover all the topics. We're going to cover drug use, drug names, brand generic drugs, narcotics, compounding, calculations. Pharmacy calculations.
Oh, my God, Roxanne.
Pharmacy calculation.
I was with her up to that point.
We're going to study pharmacy law.
Okay.
You know, all that is included. We're going to cover all of that. During the program, we administer 4 of the certification tests.
Okay.
So they can take the test here in the High Desert, I would assume?
Director of High Desert New Beginnings, she actually registered to have a site, and she's in Barstow, and yes, they can take the test in Barstow.
Wow. Okay, so now they go through the 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They're successful. They get their certificate.
And now they can take the certification exam. And we are fortunate to be able to sponsor 10 students at this time. If anyone would like to sponsor a student, they can.
Okay.
To take the test. So we have right now 10 students that we know we can sponsor to take the test. Once they take the test, they can apply to the California State Board of Pharmacy to receive their license as a pharmacy technician.
Okay. And then once that happens, they can go to work.
Yes.
See, I mean.
And it's just 8 weeks of training to get them through.
Well, it's more
that.
Than 8 weeks, okay. Because they have to study that book beforehand.
Okay.
They would, and if they didn't study beforehand, they're going to have to study after, because they have 3 months after they finish the course to take the test.
So we're talking about roughly, it sounds like to me,
about six months.
Uh-huh. So in 6 months, mm-hmm. you will walk away with a tangible skill set. And
we even have them count how they do all the training that you would do in a pharmacy. We have trays so they can count prescription. We show them how to type prescription. We show them how to label prescriptions. We do the whole.
And so all of this, and the only investment for those who are registered or registered into the program, is that they must purchase their book.
We do not provide the book.
But then everything else is provided for them straight through getting that certification.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, that's wonderful. So how can someone who's interested go online, register, find out more information, and also if they're interested in supporting, because someone may want to make some scholarships available.
Yeah, anyone would like to support or would like to register, it's at www.restorationcentersda.org. And if you go on that website, you can donate, and you just have to put for scholarship for pharmacy tech, or you can go on and register to become a pharmacy tech.
Pharmacist Ida, is there a limit to how many students you can take in this class?
So we limit ourselves to 15 students per year.
Okay. Oh, so it's only a once a year. So if you unfortunately miss this timeline, you would have to wait until the
next year.
Okay.
Because
I
can only do it during my slow season.
Okay. For sure. So like we said earlier when we started on High Desert Dialogue Conversations with Regina and Roxanne, if you've just graduated or are maybe thinking about starting this career, you're 18 years old, this will be a great opportunity to get your foot in the door with Roxanne. A great career that could lead to so many different openings. It's pharmacy tech, pharmacist Ida, the whole pharmacy career is a wonderful field, correct?
Yes. And there's so many opportunities. That's what I try to, when I speak to the students, I let them know, don't think that you are just able to work in retail. My niece did the pharmacy tech program with me, and she actually now works in special education.
Wow.
Because she had a pharmacy tech, she was able to work with special
needs.
Yeah, they
special
considered
needs.
It as
yes.
a medical background and was able to get her.
Yeah, so there's, if I'm understanding correctly, there is a wealth of opportunities with this, so you're not just limited to doing the one thing.
Yes,
right.
And there's also not just for our new, graduating students getting into the real work field, but also those who maybe want to start a second career too. Right?
Exactly. Yes. I was thinking that, Roxanne. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this would be wonderful. So, I want to thank you for coming in and being with us today and sharing this program. Before we go, I want you to give that website one more time, which is
www.restorationcentersda.org.
Great. And then I want to also acknowledge Restoration Center Church.
Yes.
And then it's also New Beginnings.
High Desert New Beginnings.
Mm-hmm. This is great. This is what we always talk about, Roxanne, when we talk about community, locking arms to do things that really help to uplift and enrich and enhance our community. So, Pharmacist Ida, we want to thank you for coming in today, being with us. We would love to have you come back and kind of tell us how the program went.
Of course.
And how many students completed.
Uh-huh.
So maybe somewhere down the line before the end of the year, we'll get you back to give us an update on that.
I do want to share one thing on the day that we do our graduation, which is the Saturday after the last class. We do our graduation. We also do a backpack giveaway to help any of the students that are there or families.
Wonderful. Well, let us know about that.
Yeah.
You have an open invitation to come and share with us the wonderful things that you are doing out in the community. We appreciate you. thank you for being here in the high desert. What was it, 20-some-odd years?
Yes.
Thank you for that. And we'll look forward to finding out how this program turns out and how many. I think you're going to have way more than 15 people who apply for this program, right? But how many are successful and move forward. Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Once again, good morning, Regina. I'm doing well. I am so excited for our guest, our returning guest.
I know. I was going to say, this is. I haven't seen you this excited in quite some time, well, I must say.
It's a great, it's some great information for, you know, anybody of all ages, because what we're going to be talking about is very important and does affect many around the high desert.
I know. And so we are happy and, as Roxanne said, excited to welcome Dr. Sunil Patel. He was here with us last month, I believe.
He was, to talk about the importance of kidney health and what we can do to protect our kidneys and maintain them.
And the conversation was so engaging that we said he had to come back. He agreed. So he's here with us today. So, Dr. Patel, welcome. Thank you for joining us again on Conversations with Regina and Roxanne. And so we want to just jump in. So we're going to do maybe a little bit of a refresher, Roxanne.
Yeah.
Talking about kidney health. And then we're going to do a deeper dive this time into really talking about dialysis, learning about that, and learning also, I think, about some alternatives and some options. But to get us started, let's just have Dr. Patel, if you would, kind of give us a little bit of background about kidneys and their function, and why they're important, and we want to keep them healthy.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me again. It is always a pleasure to see you guys, and I had a lot of fun last time talking about kidney disease and kidney health. So, and I hope that today we learn with discussions about, more about kidney disease and dialysis particularly. Just to refresh, kidneys are very, very important. We kind of talked about this last time as well, but, you know, we take them for granted. We don't pay attention to them unless something happens to us from the kidney standpoint. Mainly the kidney's function is to regulate toxins in our bloodstream and electrolytes like potassium, which is a major deal. If your kidneys are not working, your potassium can rise very quickly. And potassium is what is detrimental to our health in high levels when the kidneys are not working. This is what causes somebody with kidney disease to have a sudden cardiac death and immediately die. And this is one of the many reasons we start patient on dialysis therapy.
So, Dr. Patel, let me ask a question, because you talked about potassium. So is there a specific test for us to know what our potassium levels are?
Yes, definitely. Last time, you know, we talked about getting routine blood tests done, which checks your kidney function, which is the comprehensive metabolic panel. And that also has a potassium level in it. And patients who have chronic kidney disease especially should pay attention to their potassium level. Most patients will be advised to restrict how much potassium they should be eating per day. And some of the medications we use to protect kidneys from failing quickly, unfortunately, they cause, as a side effect, elevation of potassium level.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we're trying to protect the kidneys, but then there's an adverse reaction. So we have to balance that with dietary restriction of potassium intake.
Doctor, what kind of foods besides bananas can contain potassium?
A whole lot. You know, we don't think about potassium in diet as much. Bananas is one of the first thing we think about, but things like tomatoes and potatoes are also considered high in potassium. We live in California. You know, Mexico is our greatest supplier for avocado.
Avocado has potassium too, really?
Avocado is very rich in potassium, yes, it is.
I had some avocado yesterday.
Well, as long as your kidneys are functioning okay, you should
be in moderation. All right. So, like, saying if you have a banana, every day, is that maybe some type of concern or?
Roxanne, the question would be if the patient has or somebody has a kidney problem. So as long as you don't have kidney problems, actually high potassium diet could be beneficial because it actually helps with lowering your blood pressure.
Mm. See? So it just kind of depends on where you are. So it starts with, it sounds like to me,
unfortunately,
doctor,
if you're
making
kidneys,
sure getting that test and seeing what the levels are to know if there's even a reason to be concerned, right?
Exactly.
And then
exactly.
As with all things, consulting with your physician, your primary physician, to make sure that, you know, because sometimes people have more than one issue, right? And so how these things work together in tandem. So with that, you were kind of telling us about kidney health. Are there some things that could be going on that would be cause for concern? And then that way, you know, you're either going to get tested or go see an expert like yourself and then find out. Maybe that leads to what we're going to talk about more in the way of dialysis.
Or early
or
symptoms
early.
Of kidney. Mm-hmm. Yeah, doctor, what signs if somebody, like what signs would be like, just proof that maybe something is going on with our kidneys?
Yeah, excellent question. You know, we have, and I think to answer this question, I can tell you a scenario in which patients, what we call incidental dialysis patient, meaning that they have not had any checkup done or any health care provided to them, and they all of a sudden show up in the emergency department with complete kidney failure, and they need to be started immediately on dialysis. And oftentimes those patients have had symptoms that they have ignored for some time. And so I think that would be an excellent way to kind of understand what symptoms to look out for. So, you know, if you're starting to have swelling all of a sudden in combination with fatigue, generalized weakness, perhaps mental fogginess or memory loss, just excessive tiredness, lack of appetite, even sometimes loss of weight, and those are kind of generalized symptoms that also necessitate dialysis in somebody who is prone to have progressive kidney failure.
Mm. Okay.
Well, like you said, the kidneys are cleaning all the toxins. So say if we're, you know, smoking, maybe drinking, right? That all plays effect, right?
Yes, yes. We talked about that. I mean, one of the best things if you do have kidney disease and if you have, you're a habitual smoker, then to stop smoking is one of the greatest benefits you can do for yourself and your health in the setting of having kidney disease.
Or people with diabetes or obesity too, right? Because your kidneys are working very hard.
Yes, absolutely.
So, doctor, we want to learn a little bit more about dialysis. And so can you tell us, first of all, what it is? What is that?
Yeah, so, you know, going back to what I explained about kidney function, right? The main purpose of kidneys is to get rid of the toxins, regulate the electrolytes, and regulate the fluid balance. So dialysis is essentially an artificial way of doing those functions for the kidneys. Mm. Oftentimes people mistake dialysis as a treatment for kidney function. What I mean to say that is that people think that we are helping them get better from kidney standpoint. It's a thin line between that and what dialysis is. Dialysis is basically a replacement therapy. So a therapy that actually artificially does the function for your kidneys.
Okay. That's a good point because I think I may have had that a little bit confused.
Confusion too. So doctor, so that means that if you have kidney failure, there's no way to cure that. Unless you have a is that possible, or is that dialysis is like the last means of help for the kidneys to replace?
So you know, it depends on again also whether the disease is long-term disease or a short-term. So what I mean by that is sometimes people come in with acute damage to the kidneys. For example, somebody who has lupus, they can have a lupus flare-up, mm-hmm. and that can cause them to have acute damage to the kidneys. And while we work to control their lupus and potentially improve their lupus overall, which can reverse some of the kidney damage that has occurred, we would put patients on dialysis for short-term duration. And mm-hmm. they may potentially come off of dialysis.
Okay.
But somebody who, for example, has had diabetes with progression of kidney disease and two kidney failure, meaning years of damage that has happened, those are patients that will permanently end up needing dialysis.
Okay.
Until they get kidney transplant.
Doctor, this every time we have you in, it just becomes more and more interesting, the deeper dive that we take, and we really appreciate it. If our listeners are interested in learning more, are there some resources that you might recommend that they may, either go and take a look, kind of start to get their questions answered, do a deeper dive themselves?
Or to learn more about dialysis, say if they have a family member or are concerned about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, locally, they can certainly reach out to me at my office. But I would kind of stay away from just blatant Google search, because there's lots of information out there and it becomes difficult to, tweak out what is
kind of
better and
that.
Navigating through mm-hmm. what is not good.
Yeah.
So in general, I always recommend my patients go to National Kidney Foundation website, which is a great source of information for patients, families, and it's unbiased.
Okay.
It's also driven by patients. So patients are also advocating for these treatments, these options as well. So you're not seeing an industry trying to force a treatment or suggest a treatment for patients.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great place to start, in my opinion. There are lots of kidney care programs that are also out there managing chronic kidney disease care programs. And you can do a simple Google search on that, kidney care programs.
Yeah.
Okay. And then American Society of Nephrology has a patient portal as well, which you can seek out and get information from.
That's wonderful.
In the end, we need to protect our kidneys.
Yes.
Stay hydrated, maintain a great diet, exercise, right, doctor?
Exactly, yes. Exactly.
Well, Dr. Sunil Patel, we want to thank you for joining us today and sharing this wealth of information around our kidney health and dialysis. I have no doubt that we're going to have you back.
What else can we talk about?
Yes, and do a little deeper dive into how to, because again, this is one of the things we don't necessarily think about top of mind with our health, but it's critically vital to us being healthy. And so I want to thank you for coming in again, sharing your wealth of knowledge. And we'll look forward to having you come back again and taking a deeper dive into the health of kidneys and dialysis and our wellness.
Absolutely. Before we sign off, I just want to kind of say one thing to the listeners. Look at dialysis as a bridging therapy. Okay. Mm. It's a bridging therapy to transplant. A lot of patients are candidate for transplants. And they are either not aware of that or they're not going through the process of enlisting in the transplant program. Granted, we have shortages of organ, but does not mean that you should not get evaluated for possible transplant candidacy.
And I think that you just introduced our next topic to have you back. So thank you.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Roxanne and Regina. I really appreciate you guys having this program and having the listeners be educated about kidneys and dialysis and such.
Thank
well,
you very much.
This is how we have healthy communities. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again for being a part of the conversation. We'll talk to you next weekend.